Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Is identified as Joseph Stack. They say this whole incident began this morning with a domestic disturbance call to the police.
Look, this is pretty dramatic stuff. We want to stay on top of it as best we can for you right now.
What I have here is a six-page suicide note. It reads like a very angry person. I don't know quite what, how quite to put it. I can tell you that Joseph Andrew Stack unequivocally.
All right, we know already happened. It's nothing funny about it. The guy crashed a plane into an IRS building. A nutcase. But if you read his, welcome to the Savage Nation. Sorry for speaking as though you're in the room with me. I tend to forget that it's an audience of millions on the Savage Nation. But we've all been watching this all day long. Plane, single engine plane, disgruntled guy, anti-government guy, long suicide note, sets his building on fire, crashes his plane into an IRS building. Thank God nobody was killed except himself. And of course, it's getting all day coverage, as you would expect. But I want to, before we go into this, remind you of something that I don't believe anyone else in the media will remind you of. A few days ago, three innocent professors were shot dead by a woman leftist obsessed with Obama at the University of Alabama. And the media scantily covered it, hardly covered it. She was a left winger. She was a fanatic. She planted pipe bombs, never got arrested, obsessed with Obama, didn't get tenure, pulls out a gun, shoots five fellow faculty members and kills three. The media swept it under the rug. Why? Do I have to tell you why? Now, let's now turn around to this one today. Here you have a right wing extremist giving red meat for the left wing. And bingo, there we are. Now the left ring in America has red meat for their propaganda machine. Austin, Texas, Joseph Stack flies an airplane into a government building. Leaves behind a long anti-government screed. The left ring now has their own Reichstag fire, which they can use to make whatever insane assertions about conservatives they want. It's the same thing that happened when Timothy McVeigh was used to distract America from the scandals of the Clinton administration in the mid-90s. And it's interesting to me that this event today occurred just days after Bill Clinton said he was going to start intensive opposition research, meaning a smear campaign, against the Tea Party movement. And then, as if on cue, bingo, there's an attack. Coincidence? Well, I'll let the Savage Nation decide. I mean, whether this was somehow triggered by, you know, conspiracists within the government, you know, the brainwashed guy who was released, or simply used by the government media complex is almost besides the point. It will be used by the left-wing conspiracy in the government media complex for their own purposes. They will claim, as they have claimed before, that it is the right wing behind this. They will claim that this proves that Big Sis is correct in worrying about white males. They will prove, in reading his manifesto, that he was a white anti-government conservative. Steven Spielberg could not have imagined a better movie line for them. And I expect as the days go by, the left-wing conspiracy will revel in doling out the details of this nut's life. No doubt they'll come up with the fact that he had been a militia member. He was an anti-abortion activist. He was opposed to illegal immigration. No doubt they'll say he was a leader of a Tea Party movement, or, well, at least he drank Lipton tea. No doubt he listened to talk radio. At least once he did anyway. They will do everything in their power to make it seem as this is the real terrorist threat, when in reality, the threat to all of us comes not from the left, not from the right, not from Texas, not from New York, but from Tehran. Tehran is working on nuclear bombs, and of course, we're sitting here fiddling while Rome burns. Did you hear as much coverage about the Fort Hood massacre when Major Hassan, the Muslim, actually killed 11 or 12 people and wounded 30 innocent soldiers. You didn't hear much about it, did you? The same hysterical vermin in the media who are going crazy over this had almost nothing to say about the Fort Hood massacre. But, you know, if you read the manifesto, there's a lot of left-wing and right-wing anger in there, incidentally. I mean, this guy is all over the map. He's against the bailout of GM, okay? You could say that's right-wing Tea Party stuff. And yet he goes on and on and says that the establishment will not pass health reform. That's left-wing. So, you know, when you get a guy who's all over the map like this, you can't really make it a political thing, which, of course, is why it has not yet been picked up by the vast left-wing conspiracy as such. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. We put together a bit with David doing it. But the guy, I mean, was a nut, a clear nut. He hated America. And he attacks the IRS with the plane, and he ends with this. He says, the communist creed, from each according to his ability to each according to his need. That sounds like Obama, by the way. The capitalist creed, from each according to his gullibility to each according to his greed. Joe Stack, 1956, 2010. The guy writes, you know, cogently. I wouldn't say it's brilliant writing, but it's cogent writing. He doesn't sound crazy. He just sounds all over the map. So what do you think? A lone wolf? A conspiracy of the government? A right-wing conspiracy? A left-wing conspiracy? No conspiracy? Just a nut who was on meds? I have a question for America today on the Savage Nation, one that will probably be unique to the discussion. I don't think that it was read anywhere on someone's thread on any of the excellent websites out there. He says he was poor, living on saltine crackers at times and on peanut butter. He says he was broke and therefore he went nuts, yet he had the money to own an airplane and fly it. Really? Does that add up to you? I mean, he's broke, he has no money, but he has an airplane that he can pay for a hangar fee? And fuel? Who gave him the airplane? Who was the airplane registered to? I mean, these are questions that I would be asking if I were in the intelligence services. I doubt very much that they're asking those questions. I'm sure they're trying to pin the tail not on the donkey, but on the elephant. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com, Florida JD. First up, what do you think about the airplane act today? Lone wolf or conspiracy?
I just basically think that he was just all over the map. I mean, he had problems with the government. He had problems with his wife. He was divorced once. And it just seemed like he just had a lot of problems.
Yeah, but how did he have the money for an airplane if he was eating peanut butter and saltines?
No, I mean, you know, that's a good point. You know,
He's talking about my neighbor was an elderly. I don't know. He's talking about 18 or 19 when her husband died, and it's all over there. He said, here I was living on peanut butter and bread or Ritz crackers for months at a time. When I got to know this poor figure and heard her story, I felt worse for her plight than for my own. Now maybe he's talking about the past. Then he says, I thought I'd be healthier eating cat food like her rather than trying to get all my substance from peanut butter and bread. What? I mean, what is this guy?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Look at this. That was a long time ago. Then he says, return to the early 80s. And here I was off to a terrifying start as a wet-behind-the-ears contract software engineer. Oh. So that's what happened. He was a software engineer. And then he says the IRS passed Law 1706, the treatment of certain technical personnel.
Right.
So he's had a grudge for a long time.
I mean, this guy was a contract software engineer, wasn't like a steady job type of guy. It seems like he drifted from, you know.
Back in those years, I was targeted by the ACLU as a white male to not be given a university professor's job. They gave them to unqualified women and minorities. There's no question about it. And I was in hell for 20 years. My future was put on hold by the ACLU through affirmative action. I was full of anger. I was full of rage, but I didn't pick up a gun. I made a living another way. And then I got really mad, and I went into talk radio. I mean, so you don't necessarily have to take anger and turn it into killing, right?
No, I mean, definitely not. And this guy, you know, he was, seemed like he tried to be a liberal, but he also wanted to complain about his 401k getting drained. I mean, like I said, he suffers from what everybody else suffers in America right now. And so...
Yeah, well, it's going to... Do you agree with me it's going to be used by the vast left-wing conspiracy to show that the Tea Party movement did this?
I think it could be used by anybody, to be honest.
So you say it could also be used by the right wing to condemn the left wing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, there's...
It's a circus, you know. There's the left ring, there's the right ring, there's the center ring. Let's play circus music as we accept your calls here on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. We have the left ring. On the left. On the right. We have the left ring. We have the right ring. We have the donkey in the left ring. We have the elephant in the right ring. And in the center ring, it's none other than the circus maestro, Michael Savage. All right, so a lone wolf nut crashes a plane into an IRS building. He writes a manifesto that's all over the map. There's something there for the left ring, the right ring. I'm asking questions where he got the money for an airplane if he was, so poor. But before we talk any more about this, I want to pull back. Number one, just a few days ago, a left-wing professor woman professor obsessed with Obama, shot and killed three faculty members because she was denied tenure. Did you see that on CNN? Did you see that on ABC, CBS, NBC? Did you read about it in the Old York Times? The answer is no. The answer is no because it did not meet the protocols of the radical left-wing conspiracy. She was a woman. She was a left-wing woman. She was a left-wing woman obsessed with Obama. She was a professor. You can't have that as a murderer, can you? Because that would disprove the idea that it was the guns. It's not the guns. It's the people. You understand that? So before we go on, number two, did you see as much coverage of the Fort Hood massacre by the Muslim major Hassan? No, you did not, except on Fox News. So you've got to understand that this is a story. It's an important story, but it's not as important as Iran saying that they're close to weaponizing a uranium and turning it into a nuclear bomb. It may not even be as important as the assassination of a Hamas commander by Israelis, well, allegedly by Israelis, but now Britain has gone crazy, and they're demanding the arrest of 11 Israelis who they say went to Dubai and under an operation by Mossad killed this Hamas murderer in his hotel room. I didn't know that. I didn't know that Mossad was still active and they could still do these things. I'm encouraged, to be honest with you, if they did it. I'm not so sure they did it. I'm not so sure that an Arab country didn't do it. I'm not so sure that Gordon Brown's people didn't do it. I'm not so sure the CIA didn't do it. How do we know who did it? The guy gets knocked off in a hotel already. It's the Israelis did it. So let's hear the soundbite from the anti-Semitic Reuters now on the Savage Nation.
Dubai police investigating the alleged assassination of a senior Hamas militant listed 11 Europeans whose identities may have been used by the hit squad responsible. Six of them are Britons who've emigrated to Israel. Stephen Hood spoke of his shock when he discovered his identity is among those used.
I'm in shock. I don't know how they reached me. Those are, of course, not my pictures. I don't know how they got my details, who took them. I haven't even left the country for 2 years, and I've never been to Dubai, ever. I don't know who's behind this.
I've been here with the trees now for my years.
These are major forces.
No! You got the wrong man! I'm an outlawer!
Hamas is blaming Mossad, the Israeli secret service, for the death of Mahmoud al-Mabhouh. He was found in his hotel room last month. He's said to have died from suffocation. His brother also believes Mossad was involved.
We were sure from the first moment that it was an assassination.
The Zionists did it. Anything bad on earth, Jews did. Jews made cancer. Jews made lightning. Jews made thunder. All bad. Floods, Jews. Earthquake, Jews. We knew right away, Jews did it.
Gad Shimron is a former Mossad field officer. He says if Mabhouh was assassinated, it's unlikely Israel would have acted alone.
I will not be surprised to hear 20, 30 years from now when the archives will open to read that this operation was an international operation, maybe with the backup of some Western intelligence communities, etc.
The United Arab Emirates says it's issued international arrest warrants for all suspects who also include Irish and French passport holders.
All suspects who happen to be Jews.
The government spokesman said six other people it did not identify are also suspected of involvement. Israel says there's no proof that Mossad was involved.
Okay, well, there it is. That's another story. Interpol puts Hamas hit squad on most wanted list as number of suspects rises. You know, if Interpol really wanted to do his job, they ought to put Ahmadinejad, they ought to put Kim Jong-il on the list of those who are threatening the world order. I don't know what they're doing here. They ought to give these people a Nobel Peace Prize, as far as I'm concerned. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. So now we have two stories in play on the Savage Nation. Let's go around the nation, around the world. Let us go to New York City, Michael, line 9 from WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yes, it's a pleasure to meet you, sir, on air. First of all, the first thing I see when I see this plane crash, there's this knee-jerk reaction all the time to say, oh, it wasn't terror. Sorry, it wasn't terror. We're going to shake it up. It's like, you mean to tell me in 5 or 10 minutes the feds have done a thorough investigation where they can say it's not terror? What's the deal with that?
I don't know. What's the deal with that? Well, I don't know. What's the deal with that? Why, you think it was related to a terror cell?
Well, I'm just going to say, in general, there's always this, like, auto response from anybody.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a given. That's correct. The Fort Hood massacre, not a terror incident. No matter what the incident is, it's the Christmas bombing. It was a lone wolf. He was not related. Of course, it turned out that he was. The Nigerian was, in fact, triggered by a cell.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing is, I was looking, I call it the Academy Awards. I see it's like the layers of bureaucracy in front of the microphones. And the last thing
I don't go for it either. And now I'd like to introduce Fire Marshal Jones of the Austin Fire Department. Phil, come on up here. You did such a great job. And now we want Police Chief Shmendrick McCarthy to come up. Sheriff Shmendrick McCarthy, please come up. You did a superb job today. We now have Big Sis herself. She's being wheeled in. Hold on. Here comes Big Sis.
Savage.
Bong, it's 33 minutes after the hour. Of course, it's different hours across the country, and the show is rerun around the clock somewhere, but man targeted IRS in Austin plane crash. We have a picture of him on Michael Savage. Duke LaCrosse accuser. Remember her? Remember that doll? Remember that wonderful, wonderful doll from LaCrosse, from Duke University? Remember that piece of garbage? Do you remember her, what I called her? You remember what I called her at the time? When the Duke LaCrosse accuser, after a few days, I knew she made the whole thing up. I called for the resignation of the DA. I said he's a member of the modern version of the LKK, the Liberal Klux Klan, and I said he should be thrown out. And months later, after hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, were spent by the defense of these innocent white boys because of this woman, said that they had raped her when they never touched her, as you well know. She was found to be a liar. Nothing happened to her. Well, she was just arrested and charged with attempted murder and assault today. This is the type of human being that the media leaps upon and believes, and of course never believes the other side. I actually have sound bites from 2006 and 7 on the Duke LaCrosse case, which is very important for you to hear today if you're a new listener, because I was the first in the media to call her the Durham dirtbag, which she turned out to be a Durham dirtbag. I was the first to call for the resignation and firing and arrest of Mike Nifong, the DA. He was eventually thrown out of the DA's office. I was the first in America to say that the student body president should be thrown out of the university. Here was a student body president who jumped on the white boys in the Duke LaCrosse team and said the boys are guilty, even though there's no DNA evidence, simply because their character shows that they play sports and they're white and they're rich, that they raped her. I couldn't believe what I was watching. But I watched it. I mean, I said, in America, you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. They took 20 white boys. They took their DNA because a black stripper said she was raped and beaten. None of their DNA was found on the woman. But everyone said that they were guilty anyway because they were rich and they were white and on a lacrosse team. I have all of that sound. And don't forget what this media is all about. Because, again, Major Hassan, goes ballistic at Fort Hood. He executes 13 or 12 U.S. soldiers. He shoots 30 others. He is not stopped until a police officer brings him down. And what happens to him? The military sweeps it under the rug. The defense secretary says there's no terrorism. The Defense Department, DHS, FBI says we're not going to investigate any ties to Islam or Muslims because that would be off the table. And I want you to understand we're living in very dangerous times because of it. That's all. Simple little story. Chicago, Anthony, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mike, already we know what this guy ate for breakfast, what color socks he was wearing, what he wrote on his computer, and his full name. It took almost 2 days to be given the name of the Fort Hood terrorist. And I can guarantee you, if this was a Muslim, the story would be pushed under the rug until the media can make him out to be a victim.
Well, I could no, I don't believe that would be the case, but he wasn't a Muslim. He was a white male Christian, as a matter of fact. The only question is, what is the left-wing conspiracy going to do with this story? My guess is they're already trying to do a storyline that he was a member of a Tea Party, or at least he drank Lipton tea, or tea, and therefore it's the Tea Party movement is to blame. Or that he listened to talk radio, and therefore we in talk radio should be arrested. That's coming next, I can guarantee you. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. Las Vegas, Daniel, you're up on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Yes, Michael, agree with you 100%. My comment is this schmuck in the White House is here right now in Las Vegas, and they have enacted a 30-mile no-fly zone around Las Vegas, which is going to
Wait, you mean even people coming to gamble can't get into town?
Cannot. I am a flyer. I live right on the 30-mile mark at a flying community, and I cannot get in my airplane and fly right now. And what you're going to see is you'll see this schmuck utilize this, and the left utilize this to take away a little more freedom. If I can't get in my airplane and go fly, why? Because they think I'm going to run my airplane into this guy.
Well, Mayor Goodman did the right thing. He wouldn't even meet with Obama. I think he did the right thing.
He stuck to his guns, and he's taking a lot of heat for it from one side of the aisle there, but he's definitely holding his own on that.
Let me ask you something. Is Harry Reid going to go down in flames?
Harry Reid will go down if the Tea Party and the Republicans can get together. Right now, this city, both them and Republican, have really had it with Harry. Problem is, there's going to be a splitting, and we're a little bit worried about it right now.
Oh, you mean a split between the candidates will divide the vote up. Yeah, all right, Daniel, thank you for your concerns. Again, this is the big story. Let's go to Kansas City, the heartland. Doug, your opinion, please, on the IRS Austin Plain Act.
Yes, Dr. Savage. Now's the time to urge our legislators to pass new tough plane control laws. We've got to tax these planes, we've got to register these planes, and keep them out of the hands of people that intend to do us harm.
Well, I think they need to ban assault planes. There's no question that it's assault planes that kill.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, it's like assault butter knives kill, too. I mean, I think they should ban steak knives. The government should register every steak knife in America, don't you think so?
Yeah, if it's not that, it'll be a can of gasoline. I mean, there's nothing that can't be used.
I really think that the government under Obama should send either the Acorn people into your house and register your steak knives. Because you never know when a deranged, head of family is liable to strike out with an assault steak knife.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to laugh at it. What am I going to do? The guy's nuts. That's all. Thank God nobody was killed. You know, let's move on. Me. There's a lot more out there in the world. Yesterday we talked about a lot of things. We have the guy's whole manifesto. What else do we have in the sound world for the listening entertainment on Red Meat for the Left Wing? We have anything else to play for the listeners out there that they may enjoy? Yeah, David's piece. Let's hear David's piece right now. Let's hear it. We did something for you on the Savage Nation that maybe you'll find it.
Hello, you fighting orphans of the Pacific. How sick. This is after her weekend and back on the air strictly under your now.
You're listening to the voice of Tokyo Rose. This is Graham Hancock with a special report from Michael Savage and with a little help from Fox News' Shep Smith.
Today, a man named Joe Stack.
Joe Stack, the pilot.
Tourist with the Internal Revenue Service crashed his small plane into an office building in Austin, Texas that housed federal tax employees, setting off a raging fire.
Fox News can confirm the pilot took off from Georgetown Municipal Airport.
I have his manifesto. Here's what he says.
Sanity.
If you're reading this, you're no doubt asking yourself, why did this have to happen? The simple truth is that it has been coming for a long time. There isn't enough therapy in the world that can fix what is really broken.
The definition of insanity is repeating the same process over and over.
We are all taught as children that without laws, there would be no society, only anarchy. We are all brainwashed to believe that there is freedom in this place and that we should be ready to lay our lives down for the noble principles represented by its founding fathers.
Big brother.
Remember, one of those was no taxation without representation. Well, these days, anyone who really stands up for their principles is promptly labeled a crackpot, traitor, and even worse. Why is it a handful of thugs and plunderers can commit unthinkable atrocities? The joke we call the American medical system, including the drug and insurance companies, are murdering tens of thousands of people a year and stealing from the corpses and victims they cripple. And this country's leaders don't see this as important as bailing out a few of their vile, rich cronies.
And expecting the outcome to suddenly be different.
How did I get here? I live in a country with an ideology that is based on a total and complete lie. The recent presidential puppet, G.W. Bush, and his cronies, in their 8 years, certainly reinforced for all of us that this criticism rings equally true for all of the government. Nothing changes unless there is a body count. In a government full of hypocrites from top to bottom, life is as cheap as their lies and their self-serving laws. I know I'm hardly the first one to decide I've had all I can stand. I also know that by not adding my body to the count, I ensure nothing will change. So I choose to not keep looking over my shoulder at Big Brother.
White male.
While he strips my carcass. I choose not to ignore what is going on all around me. I choose not to pretend that business as usual won't continue. I've just had enough. Well, Mr. Big Brother IRS man, let's try something different.
Stop.
You go ahead and finish.
I'm finally ready to stop this insanity. Well, Mr. Big Brother IRS man, let's try something different. Take my pound of flesh and sleep well. And he signed it, Joe Stack.
Well, there you have it. The manifesto of Joe Stack. Maybe Michael Savage can help us understand. Back to you, Michael Savage.
It is, what can I say that you haven't heard already? What I said is the real terrorist threat is not from the right, not from the left. The real terrorist threat to all of us comes from Tehran, not from Texas. And it's time you woke up to the fact that we're going to wake up to a smoldering city if we don't all draw together. Period. End of story. What do you want me to say? You think I don't know it? You got maniacs in the Muslim world who are working around the clock to destroy this society, bring us to our knees, turn this nation into a vassal state, convert the laws of the land into Sharia law. Whether you accept it or not, it's a reality. What do you want me to do? You want me to make up reality for you? I just got an email. We're going to have the guy on in the next hour. It came to me from a PR agent who used to represent me, and he says, Dr. Savage, how about the first interview with this story tonight? A CBN exclusive, 5 Muslim soldiers arrested at Fort Jackson in South Carolina. CBN News terrorism correspondent Eric Stackelback has learned exclusively that 5 Muslim soldiers at Fort Jackson in South Carolina were arrested just before Christmas and are in custody. It just came out today, by the way. The 5 men were part of the Arabic translation program at the base. The men are suspected of trying to poison the food supply at Fort Jackson. A source with intimate knowledge of the investigation, which is ongoing, told CBN News investigators that the Fort Jackson 5 suspect may have been in contact with the group of 5 Washington, D.C. area Muslims that traveled to Pakistan to wage jihad against U.S. troops in December. That group was arrested by Pakistani authorities also just before Christmas. Coming as it does on the heels of November's Fort Hood jihadist massacre, this news has major implications, so we're going to have him on. We want to know why the Army hid this from the American people for so long. We want to know why they're keeping us in the dark. We want to know why they're treating us like idiots. I don't think we'll get the answers, but we'll try. I'll be right back.
Savage.
have a real treat for you now on the Savage Nation. Welcome back. The other night I was watching C-SPAN, and I noticed that there was a speech, coverage of the Hudson Institute holding a meeting. And there were some amazing speeches. Every one of them was excellent. But the one that caught my attention was from the head of the Hudson Institute, the president, Herb London, Dr. Herb London, who gave a speech about Al Capone's criminal lawyer, Fast Eddie. I didn't even know there was a real Fast Eddie. I was captivated by this. And then he went on to something else that I was shocked by. And joining us now is Dr. Herb London of the Hudson Institute. Herb, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, thank you very much. Pleasure to be with you.
Fabulous speech. I can see you went to Jamaica High School and learned how to speak there.
Well, I have a great affection for alumni of the Jamaica High School, and I know that you're one.
It's amazing, isn't it? We all remember how good school was in those days. I mean, it was equal to a college education today, if not better.
Probably true. I mean, I learned a great deal at Jamaica High School, went on to Columbia, and certainly went on to a PhD after that. So I owe an awful lot to Jamaica High School. I played basketball there as well.
You did? My goodness. Herb, you're the president of the Hudson Institute, which is a world-renowned think tank, and you've written some amazing books. But your speech the other night about Fast Eddie, could you tell the audience of the Savage Nation who he was?
Well, there were two stories. The first is about Fast Eddie. Fast Eddie was a lawyer who has been shown, or at least portrayed in many films, dealing with the Capone era. He was a lawyer who was very clever and managed to get off many of the criminals associated with Capone who had been apprehended by the police, including Capone himself, by the way, who was apprehended at least six or seven times, and on some technicality, Fast Eddie would get him off. And he was became an enormously famous man in Chicago, and in fact, one of the wealthiest people in the town, as you might imagine. He had a mansion that was a square block right in the center of Chicago, and everyone knew him as Fast Eddie. What people do not know, however, is that there's another story I want to tell, and a story about a fellow named Butch O'Hare. Butch O'Hare was a fellow who was a pilot during World War II. He went out on a mission, and during the course of that mission, he found himself with insufficient fuel to complete the mission. And he called up the captain of this squadron, and he said, "Look, I just don't have enough fuel." He said, "Well, go back to the aircraft carrier, and we'll just have to take you on another mission." As he was going back to the aircraft carrier, he saw a squadron of Zeros. Rather than go back to the carrier, he decided to attack the Zeros. He used all of the ammunition he had, took out three Japanese planes, and then continued to fly into two of those planes, taking off a tail on one and a wing on another. Five Japanese planes were taken down. He finally limped back to the aircraft carrier. The following year, he was killed in battle over the Pacific, disguised in the Pacific. What has happened as a result of that is that he got the Navy Cross. He was given posthumously the Congressional Medal of Honor, and there is an airport named after him called O'Hare Airport in Chicago.
That was what I was amazed. They named O'Hare Airport after this amazing hero. But he was who? This is the punchline.
If you go to the area between Terminal 1 and Terminal 2, there's a statue there of Butch O'Hare, and it tells the story of Butch O'Hare. But the one thing that it does not tell is that he was the son of Fast Eddie. This man,
unbelievable. Was the son of the criminal defense attorney for Al Capone's mob. Is that amazing?
That's correct. And he was one of the, and here he has a son who's one of the great heroes of World War II. As Fats Waller, one of my great philosophers of the 20th century, once said, "One never knows, do one." And the fact is that miracles occur in America, and the Fast Eddie story clearly demonstrates that. Here was a man who was tied into the mob who gave birth to one of the great heroes in World War II.
So what's the moral of the story or the message for the people in this country who are lost and adrift right now in despair?
Well, I think that one of the things that happens, there's a lot of reasons for being despairing about the future and having a notion that the future is very bleak. But I think the one thing that is true about the United States is that miracles do occur here, and they occur fairly routinely. And the Fast Eddie and Butch O'Hare story is merely one dimension of the miracles that occur in American life. There are so many stories like that where Americans overcome obstacles, they recognize the difficulties that we face, and one of the terrible things that often occurs by both liberals and conservatives is to underestimate the resiliency of the American people. That is something that I never underestimate.
So you have hope for the future, I take it.
Yes, I remain optimistic. Look, in a world of manic pessimism, my realism seems like manic optimism. But I am very optimistic about the future because I believe in the American people. I mean, I don't believe in the things that are often said in San Francisco and New York, but there's another America out there, an America that is basically very sensible. And that's the America that I listen to. And I try to keep my ear as close to the ground as possible because you never know the kind of wonderful messages that are going to emerge.
Now, the Hudson Institute, first of all, I want to applaud you for your coming on the show and telling the story of Fast Eddie and his son, Buck O'Hare. It's a piece of Americana I knew nothing about until I saw your speech the other night. But what does your group, the Hudson Institute, do?
Well, we're engaged. We're a public policy research center. I mean, one of the most important in the country. You would know a lot of the people who are associated with Hudson, like Robert Bork, for example. But the work that we do, we engage in research. Most of it is proprietary research. We work with governments. We try to do everything that we can to assist our country. We're basically a free market think tank and care deeply about the future of America.
As a free market think tank, Herb, I'm going to put you on the spot because I don't think it's that difficult. If you were hired by Barack Obama to come in and say, look, I made a mistake by building up more debt to solve the debt problem that Bush gave me, what would you recommend he do?
Well, I would recommend that he lower taxes. I would recommend that he create an environment for business creation and for wealth generation. I would create an environment where instead of doing the things that he's doing, that is spending the kind of future for our future generations, I would say, look, what we've got to do is to engage in belt tightening. And we're going to engage in belt tightening because this kind of sacrifice is necessary for the future welfare of Americans. So, I mean, I think there are a number of things that I would do. One, I would cut back on expenditures. Two, I would try to reduce taxes so that small businesses can prosper and create jobs. And three, I would deal with the onerous regulations that stand in the way of any kind of business creation.
I want everyone to listen to Hudson.org, to Herb London's talk. If you enjoyed it, go to Hudson.org, see what the Hudson Institute does, and make a donation, for God's sakes. Put your money where your mouth is. Herb, thank you a million for being on the Savage Nation. More to come right here on your local...
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Wait, don't play that. I said, welcome back to the Savage Nation. We've spent the first hour of the show, if you just tuned in, talking about the Austin kamikaze attack on an IRS building and the fact that it will be used as red meat for the left wing, no doubt, over the coming days. And I don't want to revisit that, but I do want to tell you that the same amount of coverage was not given to the Fort Hood massacre. The same amount of coverage was not given to the woman Obama-obsessed left-wing professor who shot three faculty members to death just days ago because she was denied tenure. So you got to understand what propaganda really is. Now, I want to move on to something else to talk again about what propaganda is. We've all heard about the wonderful Tea Party movements around America, and there's no question they have changed the political landscape of America. And by the way, bless them for that. But I want you to watch what's going on. I want you to watch how the Tea Party movement is slowly being gobbled up and co-opted by the Republican Party. Here's a headline. Tea Party patriots launch contract from America. Now, there's a conservative political action conference going on as we speak. At this conference, we read that the Tea Party patriots have launched their contract from America in order to make Washington more accountable. And the chairman of it is none other than former Republican Dick Armey. If I remember correctly, Dick Armey attacked talk radio a few years ago. On the list is Grover Norquist of Americans for Tax Reform, a man very friendly with the Saudi Arabians. And there are other groups, and I'm concerned for one reason. they're listing their plans for a document to be unveiled on April 15th on their contract from America. And right now I'm going to read you their 22 proposed solutions. Some of them: stop the tax hikes, commit to government transparency, protect the Constitution, pass real health care reform, and runaway government spending, protect internet freedom, pass an all-of-the-above energy policy, give parents more choices in the education of their children, demand a balanced budget, protect freedom of the press, protect private property rights, reject cap and trade, no czar regulation without representation, no more bailouts, audit the Fed, stop the pork, enact fundamental tax reform, stop career politicians, restore fiscal responsibility. Now, every one of those is a good statement and a good thing for the government to do. But I studied it, and something stood out in bold caps to me. There's not one mention of illegal immigrants. There's not one mention of borders. There's not one mention of language, meaning English only. There's not one mention of voter ballot reform to make sure that the illegal aliens don't vote. And moreover, there's no mention of anything to do with our culture. There's not one mention of prayer. There's not one mention of abortion. There's not one mention of the cultural war that is going on in America. So I smell a rat. I see the Republican Party taking over the Tea Party movement, and I see them crafting proposed solutions to the problems that we are having today simply to get themselves reelected without alienating the huge block of A, fill in the blank, people opposed to Christians, B, people opposed to freedom of people opposed to those who protest abortion. They also want to appease illegal aliens. They want to appease La Raza. They want to appease virtually every group in America and pretend that they are the real patriots. I don't buy it. I'm Michael Savage. I'm an independent. And I will continue to call them like I see them. I may be the first one to tell you this, but I won't be the last. Watch out. All movements in this country are generally co-opted. The Tea Party movement is no different. Right now it's being co-opted from within. Watch out for Dick Armey, in my opinion. Watch out for Grover Norquist, in my opinion. Watch out for some of these groups who put the word tea and party in their names, but in fact are just front groups for other interests. If you care to comment on anything I've just said, you can do so by calling 1-800-449-8255, or if you choose instead to comment on the Austin kamikaze plane crash, please be my guest by calling the same number. But right now I'm going to go to michaelsavage.com and look at the stories. I have an exclusive on the top right on no other website. Five Muslim soldiers arrested at Fort Jackson in South Carolina. The men are suspected of trying to poison the food supply at Fort Jackson and may have been in contact with a group of five Virginia Muslims that traveled to Pakistan. You didn't read this anywhere else. It's on no other website. At 30 minutes after the hour, we're going to have the author of this article. We're going to find out why the U.S. Army, why the FBI, why DHS, why the American government media complex has hidden this story from us right here on The Savage Nation. All the other stories are up there. Top U.N. climate official quits. Israeli sought for killing terror leader. TV anchor mistakes Biden's ashes for a bruise. You know, that's a big story. I actually like Joe Biden. I know you call me crazy. I mean, I don't go for his leftist politics, but I actually trust Joe Biden in some ways. I think he'd make a better president than Obama. I know you think I'm nuts, but I'm not nuts. I trust Joe Biden because he's been around long enough for me to trust him. I don't agree with him politically. But you ask why there's so much contention in America. You ask why there's such divisiveness in America. You don't have to look any further than Obama and his czars. They're the ones who brought this division to America. What are you people, stupid? If he was merely a Democrat trying to push liberal reforms and doing it in a legitimate way, yeah, there'd be disagreement, but there wouldn't be this much rancor. Obama is trying to pass a systemic revolution in the United States of America, as I so painstakingly tried to present to you yesterday in The Savage Nation, when I spoke for 1 or 2 hours on Marxism, Leninism, Trotskyism, and tried to show you that Obama is using these isms to push forward not a Democratic program, not a Democrat program, not a liberal program per se, but an extreme left-wing Leninist program. And so yesterday, Mr. Biden is appearing on a platform, a podium with Obama. And a Sky News presenter named Kay Burley goes on the air and mistakes the Roman Catholic symbol on American Vice President Joe Biden's forehead She mistakes it for a large bruise. She's talking to another correspondent when she says that he has a bruise on his forehead. And when made aware of her religious ignorance during a commercial break, Ms. Burley says, adding insult to injury, "I've said three Hail Marys, everything is going to be fine." Now, she should be fired. Why? Because Biden is a Catholic who is marking Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent. The holy day in the calendar for the Catholics derives its name from the practice of smearing ash on the forehead as a sign of repentance. It's actually a beautiful, incredible ritual that should be respected by everyone in this country, even if you're not a Catholic. And for Biden to have the guts to practice his religion so publicly is a testament to a man who practices what he preaches. And I have to respect him for that. You may not know it, I'm not a Catholic, but look at this ritual. The cross of ashes on the forehead is a sign of penitence and mortality, and it's done to mark Ash Wednesday. And it represents a cleansing of the soul ahead of Lent. And special services for worshipers are held in Roman Catholic, Anglican, and even some other churches where this ritual is carried out. The cross is to remind churchgoers that death comes to us all. They should be sad for their sins. They must change for the better. And that God made man by breathing life into dust. And that without God, human beings are nothing more than dust and ashes. This ash on Mr. Biden's forehead is shown as a symbol of death and sorrow for sin. And it draws on the biblical tradition of covering one's head with ashes and wearing sackcloth. Some worshipers to this day leave the church with the mark still on their forehead so that they can carry the sign of the cross out into the world. Others wash it off as a sign that the participants have been cleansed of their sins. Nevertheless, it is an important ritual. But for a news presenter to insult the Catholics of America and of the world with their ignorance like this, to me, is indefensible. And so, therefore, I thought I would make this note today on the Savage Nation. TV anchor mistakes Biden's ashes for a bruise. Read the story on michaelsavage.com. I'll be back. Savage. We've been talking about red meat for the left wing, the right wing, white wing story of Austin, Texas, and the plane. But we moved on. The Tea Party patriots launching a contract from America have not one sentence in their contract from America about borders or illegal immigrants, about English only as the language, or about the cultural war we are facing. Not one word about abortion or prayer or things of that nature. And you look at who's behind it, it's Dick Armey again. And I say, no wonder it's happening. Watch out, the Tea Party is being co-opted by the Republican Party. I also mentioned the TV anchor who insulted all Catholics in the world by sneering at Joe Biden. Now, I'm going to play you the soundbite, and you're going to listen to what has happened to these British snot noses, the same people who have banned me from Britain, the people who have been, let us say, uprooted from their own Christian religion to the extent that they have become nothing but chafe in the wind. Listen.
We're waiting for Joe Biden to introduce the president within the next few moments. The vice president, as you said, what's happened to his head? I'm sure that's what everybody's asking at home.
Yes, I don't know. It's a simple answer.
Okay. Looks like he's
walked into
a door.
Maybe we'll get a chance to find out a little later.
Yeah, I'm sure that's one of the questions that the networks will be asking.
Well, he's been up in Vancouver for the Winter Olympics. So whether there was some accident on what little ice there's been up in Vancouver, we don't know.
Probably been having a go on those tea trays down the luge.
Let's stop right for a minute. So here you have two snot-nosed British reporters on Sky News making mockery of Joe Biden's ashes on his forehead for Ash Wednesday out of pure ignorance, by the way, which is no excuse. You know, I remember when I passed the traffic light on purpose as a kid and I had to go before the judge. I refused to pay it. I figured I could talk my way out of it. So I get up before this judge. I'm scared to death. I'm 18 years old. And this stern Irish judge looks down at me and I say, "But Your Honor, I didn't know." And he stopped me. He said, "Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Guilty. $50. Get out of here." So, you know, ignorance of the law is no excuse, whether it's a traffic fine or ignorance of religion is no excuse when it comes to being a broadcaster. And they should be dismissed. Listen to what the snot nose says next.
Okay, I know that I am a very bad Catholic. I know now that it is Ash Wednesday, and I know that those are ashes on his forehead. I hang my head in shame.
Yeah, so she meant it sarcastically. Then she goes on to say, and I say three Hail Marys. I'm not going to ask you if you're a Catholic, if you're mad and steam you up. And I know many of you are going to call now and say he's not a good man because he doesn't believe in, you know, is it this or that. So let's go to those callers now. Here we go. Bruce and Austin, welcome to the show. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, love your show. Joe Biden, I wasn't aware he was a Catholic until I saw his ashes, and then I knew immediately what a hypocrite he truly is. He's a Roman Catholic. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that abortion is murder, and yet he's supporting the most pro-abortion president in history.
Well, you are correct, but that means he is a sinner, and that is why he should wear ashes. But I am a sinner, and so are you, my friend. We're all failed fallen angels, aren't we?
Absolutely. And that's why I repent during Lent. But I think if he was truly to repent and mend his ways, he should just immediately say, look, I was wrong. Obama is extremely pro-abortion. I cannot support the man, and therefore I resign.
All right, I hear you, but I hope you heard my point, which is that, you know, no one's perfect. He's a sinner just as I am and you are. But at least he had the guts to wear the ashes on his head and express his religion publicly. I thought that was a miracle for someone in the Obama administration, don't you?
Well, I think that all these Catholic, so-called Catholic, shall we call them Catholic in name only politicians, are rubbing it in the true Catholic faith by supporting abortion and defying the very basic tenets of
their... All right, so let's go to the issue of abortion, which I tend not to talk about because it's the third rail. I read earlier the Tea Party Patriots launching their Contract from America, and I read the 22 principles. There's not one mention of illegal immigrants, not one mention about borders, not one mention of English only in the language, not one mention about voter fraud, and not one mention of abortion. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that the Republican Party needs to realize that abortion is near and dear to the hearts of a majority of Americans. Most of us realize it's murder, and we feel like the time is now to fix the problems with our laws and make it illegal again.
Well, you're not hearing anything about abortion or immigration or any of the other critical social issues in all of these Tea Parties that I know of. And I think that that's something to pay attention to, by the way, incidentally. Montana, Greg, you're on the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Hi there, Mike. I just wanted to say that you are the only one beating the drum on immigration right now. I'm listening to pretty much everybody, and the whole status of the way things are could be traced back to a lot of immigration issues. Look at health care, the prison system in California. You
Bingo,
know,
that's right. Almost our entire bankruptcy is related to, sure, it's related to bailing out Wall Street, no question about it. No question it's related to the stimulus bill, but it's also related to the extraordinary cost of medicating, educating, and dealing with the criminal illegal aliens in this country. And nobody will talk about that because they're afraid of the Hispanic lobby. It's as though the illegal aliens have more power than the citizens themselves. Chicago, Tom, next on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, I actually agree with you that I don't agree with Biden either, but if he were president, I'd feel more comfortable than Obama. With Obama, I can't even sleep at night, but at least...
That's right. That's exactly right. Biden, I don't question his loyalty on the issue of national security. Obama, I can't say the same thing for.
Exactly. I don't.
And I know where Biden was born.
That too. We don't.
And
really...
I know where Biden went to school, okay? I mean, let's start with the basics. Biden probably could have passed the background check to become an FBI agent. I can't say that for Barry Obama.
True.
All right, so there you go. That's all. By the way, next will be the reporter about the five Muslim soldiers arrested at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, exclusively for the Savage Nation. They were arrested for trying to poison the food supply. They were Arabic translators. And the Army has hidden this story. The media has hidden this story. I'm breaking the story on the Savage Nation. Blog it. Twit it. Is there a word? Twit it. Blog it. Twit it. Facebook it. Call it in. Tell them you heard it first on the Savage Nation, because this story is a blockbuster. If it turns out that Homeland Security has been sitting on this story, it means that it's strike three for Big Sis. We'll have to find out the minute the reporter appears. He's coming into the studio right now. He'll be back right after this cluster of wonderful supporters of the Savage Nation. I know you're going to be here.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Look, we're all talking about the man who crashed a plane in Austin, but I have a story that I think is very, very important. It could set off shockwaves in this country. It came to me an hour ago. Five Muslim soldiers arrested at Fort Jackson in South Carolina. They are Arabic translators. They were Arabic translators. They were trying. They're accused of trying to poison the food supply. Joining us right now is the reporter for Christian Broadcasting News, Eric Stackelback, who broke this story. I want to find out more about it. Mr. Stackelback, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. It's great to be here.
Eric, when did this story break?
Well, Michael, I learned of this first last night from two people with really intimate knowledge of this investigation. Now, details right now are kind of scant. We know, as you said, five Muslim soldiers at Fort Jackson in South Carolina. This is a real hub, Michael, for people who were going through basic training. A lot of soldiers who were going through basic training go to Fort Jackson. Apparently, they were targeted here, allegedly, by these five Muslim soldiers. They allegedly tried to poison the food supply. I think an interesting nugget here, Michael, also that I learned last night.
I want to back up because I don't want to have egg on my face. You say allegedly. How good is your source?
Very good. Two people with intimate knowledge of the investigation.
But if this happened around the time of the Christmas bomber, the underwear bomber, why has it been buried by the government?
That's the great question, Michael. Why did the Department of Defense not come clean here, come out, and share these details with the American public? As you said, the underwear bomber on Christmas Day, number one. Number two, Fort Hood, obviously, back in November. Thirdly,
both failures, by the way, of DHS. She failed twice. Now, they were saying if there's a third strike, she's out. Do you blame DHS for this?
I don't know if you can blame DHS for it because, look, this happened apparently on the Army's watch. The Army, I mean, military brass, people at Fort Hood dropped
them
off.
Yeah, but it's one Muslim after another committing an act of terror. And we have the defense secretary at a press conference a few months ago saying, I'm not even going there. Remember that one?
Right, yeah, and I also remember General Casey, after the Fort Hood shooting, saying that, you know, we don't want to sacrifice diversity. You know, we might offend Muslims and sacrifice.
Well, were you the reporter who asked him the question, by the way?
I did not. No, I did not.
Well, somebody did. It was amazing. So let's go back to the story. Your headline is five Muslim soldiers arrested at Fort Jackson, South Carolina. What were they trying to do?
Well, what we know is they were allegedly trying to poison the food supply. There's an investigation ongoing right now centering on these five Muslim soldiers at Fort Jackson who were allegedly suspected of trying to poison the food supply. We know there's an investigation underway. We don't have these guys convicted yet, but we know there's an investigation.
Are they in America or where are they?
To my knowledge, they are in America. We don't know if they're still in custody. They were arrested just before Christmas. And another interesting wrinkle to this, Michael, according to my sources, these guys may have had links to those five American Muslims from the Washington, D.C. area, also around Christmas, who went to Pakistan to wage jihad there against American troops. Now, they're in custody in Pakistan, those five, but these five may have had their suspicion that they may have had links to that other group that traveled to Pakistan back also around Christmas time.
Eric Stackelback of Christian Broadcasting Network is telling us that there's a story that five Muslim soldiers were arrested at Fort Jackson in December in South Carolina for trying to poison the food supply of our soldiers. But were they not soldiers themselves?
They were soldiers. They were members of the Arabic translator program. They were Arabic translators. So they were soldiers themselves. Now, we don't know if they're still in custody. They haven't been convicted of this, Michael, but it's out there. It's out
well,
there.
Maybe they were made. Maybe they were made into czars, and they're in the White House now.
Well, as you see,
maybe one could be made the Department of Agriculture food czar. You know, maybe they were made into some kind of czars by Obama for good work.
Well, judging by his new envoy to the Organization of the Islamic Conference, that's a troubling pick in and of itself. So who knows? But this is what we know right now. We're trying to get more.
Well, do you have any other red meat for the right wing here tonight? I mean, this is astonishing. If this turns out to be real and this has been buried by the Defense Department, they're going to have some explaining to do, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, why did they not come out and divulge this, especially, Michael, in the wake of Fort Hood? I mean, there's we have a potentially huge problem here, Michael, with Muslims in the military. Are they Muslims first? or are they Americans first? And that's a big question here. Can we trust? I mean, I know there are a lot of Muslims who serve faithfully in the U.S. military, but it seems that there's a problem here with an Islamic element who wants to. They want to infiltrate the highest levels of our government. Capitol Hill, Department of Justice, FBI, Department of Defense. Radical Muslims want to infiltrate the halls of power here. And is that occurring in the military in such a sensitive, obviously, spot? Remember the guy back in 2003 at the outset of the Iraq War, Sergeant Akbar, a devout Muslim, killed some of his fellow troops in Iraq because he didn't want to go to war against his fellow Muslims.
He shot them in their tent while they were sleeping.
Exactly. And now we have, Major Hassan, a guy who was elevated through the ranks. It was known. He did everything, Michael, but wear a T-shirt saying, "I am an Islamic terrorist," did Major Hassan at Fort Hood. Yet he was elevated through the ranks and actually promoted to major because of political correctness. And that goes back to General Casey's comment. We can't be blinded by political correctness here. There may be a seriously developing problem here with Muslims in the military.
I remember General Casey really shocked me when he said all religions have extremists in them. I saw that. I was shocked.
Right. Well,
It makes you wonder at which point brainwashing reaches a point of saturation where the leadership, so-called, may as well be working for the other side. Not that they're disloyal, knowingly disloyal, but their politics have become so warped in an attempt to be so walking that thin line that they may as well be working for the other side.
And here's a question for you, Michael. How many of these government leaders, government officials, in the military, in the government, have actually read the Quran, read the Hadith, understand Islamic ideology?
I want to pause right here because I know that many of you read it, and this is where you and I are going to diverge for one moment. Because I read the Old Testament, and it says, kill this one, kill that one. If someone sees the naked father, kill him. If a woman commits adultery, kill her. If they practice witchcraft, kill them. So, you know, not everyone who reads the Bible, the Orthodox Jews, are terrorists. I understand that.
But here's the thing, Michael, the difference. There's not an open-ended call in the Old Testament to spread Judaism throughout the world and kill unbelievers wherever you find them.
I agree. There's no messianic call in the five books of Moses. I agree with you.
So that's the difference.
Well, let's say this. The Muslim soldiers arrested at Fort Jackson, South Carolina story that you broke today. You published it where, on CBN?
CBNnews.com, yes.
Well, I linked it up on Michael Savage. It's going to get widespread distribution. Let us hear more about it the minute you know. If it's tomorrow, then let it be tomorrow. Eric Stackelback, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Michael, it was my pleasure.
42 minutes after the hour, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to the callers on the Tea Party's being co-opted by Republicans. Let us go to the suicide plane crash today in Austin, Texas. Or if you wish to chime in on the five Muslim soldiers arrested at Fort Jackson for attempting to poison the food, you can, you know, call about that. I mean, these are all so big stories. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. New Hampshire, David, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael, I'm a brand new listener for about a year now. And thanks very much. You are one of the guys that I can get some new information out, and I can't get anywhere else.
Well, New Hampshire, my friend, I'm going to send you a free copy of Banded Britain because you may be the only one in New Hampshire with it. What's on your mind today?
I agree with you, Tory, about the Tea Party's involvement with the Republican Party and Dick Armey. One of the things I think will happen eventually is they'll get sucked into the machine, and it'll
yes.
be business as usual.
Yes, I agree. That's the danger. The way movements evolve is they're usually seduced, co-opted, and abandoned. And the Tea Party membership must understand that the Republican Party right now is attempting to use them to reelect the very same machine that brought us Obama.
That's exactly correct. And I've always thought, since I was about 14 years old, that both parties are just as corrupt as the other.
Well, where does that leave us? Look, you grew up in New Hampshire, David. I can tell by your accent you're a New Englander.
Yes, I did.
See, you can tell by my accent, no matter where I lived, I'm from New York, but we have a similar view of the world. I grew up with an immigrant father who used to walk with me, and when I asked him what's the difference between the Republicans and Democrats, he laughed. He said, well, the way it works, son, is that first one band takes over and they tell you that they're going to do this and that and they rob the country blind. And while the other people who are out of power sit there on the sidelines screaming, they're no good, they're no good, those crooks, put us on, put us in. So then they throw those crooks out, then the other band comes in, and the way it works is the other band then says, they're crooks, put us back in. And so far it has worked pretty good, hasn't it, Dave? But now it seems that the House of Cards is coming down.
That's exactly correct, and the evil is rising to the top, and now everything's exposed. Probably because of the internet and the information age that we're experiencing.
So
right
you actually are more cynical than me. You actually think it's always been corrupt.
Absolutely. It took me till about I was 20 years old.
Oh, wait. If it's always been corrupt, then how do you explain the meltdown in national security right now, which we never had before, and the meltdown in the economics of America, which we never had before? In other words, there are some new factors. We could all put up with the politicians dipping their beaks into the money supply. We know that's how it works. We know that's why they took the jobs. We understood that's why people worth $80 million would spend $30 million, $40 million, $50 million to become a senator to make $200,000 a year. We knew what they were doing it for. It wasn't for public service. We understood it. But we also knew that there were certain firewalls that were never crossed, such as national security and things of that nature. But that's all been thrown out. That's the real problem now.
Yes, it has. And I'm a little bit of a conspiracy theorist, not overboard, but I think there's actually been a movement for a long, long time to bring this country down, to get us in line with the new world order.
Well, we've heard that for 20 years, and then going back to the early 90s, the Bilderbergs, the CFR. And at first, I had to try to avoid it. But the truth is, if you look at the Treasury Department, if you look at the Federal Reserve, if you look at what's happening to our dollar right now, you have to ask yourself, how could a once mighty dollar have fallen so quickly? And I don't think it happened by accident. I saw it happening with NAFTA, with CAFTA. I saw Clinton melting down the borders. I saw Bush following suit and melting down the borders. I saw the persecution of the U.S. Marines who were sent there to fight and die for this country. And when they did it all too well, they were then persecuted by the very army that put them out in harm's way. And so something's wrong with this whole picture. But I don't know in my heart of hearts whether it's one vast conspiracy of politicians, or it's just simply a nation falling apart from division, from two sides fighting for their own ends, where you have a penetration of the military, a penetration of the government at every level by the radical left wing, who fundamentally is tearing down everything good in this country.
That's correct.
So in other words, what I'm saying is there's still a hardcore of people who love this country in the military, in the FBI, in Homeland Security, in the executive branch, you name it, there are people who know what's going on and they're doing everything they can to save this country. But unfortunately, they're fighting against another element within their own departments that's trying to do something quite different. We'll leave it at that. Thank you very much. But, you know, I want to pull back from all of this. I had a discussion with a friend of mine this morning who just came out of a stent, the second one he had in a few months. A very nice man, a good friend of mine. I felt bad for him. So we were talking, and he said, you know, Michael, he said, what kept me going were a number of things. He said, but one of the things you said in my pain from all of this and my fears, he said, is that no matter how bad things are, he said, I remember what you said once on the show. It's nothing compared to what our ancestors lived through. What we feel in this country today, what we think is bad, is nothing compared to what people have and are experiencing on planet Earth today. So let's all draw a deep breath and realize how lucky we are to be alive in America today. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Is the Savage Nation. We're talking about so many topics. We have so many issues up in the air. I have an announcement to make for all of you people out there who've donated to Lieutenant Behenna's defense. I just got a note that we are, from the Michael Savage Defense Fund, sending another $50,000 to his mother today for his defense. I want to repeat that. You know, little people can make a big difference. And so there's no such thing as don't worry about it if it's 10 bucks or 15 or 20. This is Lieutenant Behenna, and his story is on Michael Savage. No one else in the media is covering this poor man. He's an Army Ranger who's been set up and sold down the river by the U.S. Army. He's rotting in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. His mother and his father who, by the way, worked for governments, have sacrificed so much to try to prove his innocence. They had to mortgage their house to save this child, and the government continues to spend millions to try to destroy this soldier because that's the way it is. And just as I've gone to bat for some U.S. Marines over the years, raising hundreds of thousands of dollars, sending my own when I could, I sent my own here, and you are sending $50,000 to his fund through my fund, Michael Savage Legal Fund, today on the Savage Nation. I just got this note from my attorney. So, again, I want you to understand that we do make a difference here on the Savage Nation. This is not just a show. It's not just to get you excited. Here you got a man who joins the Army Rangers, goes over and faces the gun barrel of the worst vermin on the planet, gets into a gunfight after five of his men are killed or three of them are killed, arrests the ringleader from the neighborhood, and is forced by his higher-ups, probably working a computer porn business in Tampa, Florida, in between working for the military on the computer, say, you know what? We don't want to be bothered with this. Send them back. And you, Lieutenant Ben, tell Behenna to take him back to his town. They make him take back the perpetrator in his own car. Well, a scuffle ensues, by the way I understand it. And Behenna has to defend himself, and he shoots the guy and kills him. He's arrested for murder, found guilty by your U.S. Army. The same Army that gives all the rights in the world to Major Hassan. The same Army that says Major Hassan should not be presumed guilty while he has not been tried, has taken this Army Ranger, central casting American hero, and put him guilty 15 years in a hard, cold cell all alone. So even if you haven't sent him any money, even if you only emailed him or wrote him a letter, I guarantee you it's giving him the hope that one day he will be freed. And I want you to understand how important this means to him, not me. It's not about me. It's about him. I'm only a vehicle for him. So I'm continuing to try to do the right thing for the people who are most in need, and those would be the military being persecuted by Obama and previously being persecuted by George Bush, which leads us really right back to the whole question of how did we get here. So don't say it all started with Obama. That's too easy. For years, Bush was doing this to us. Bush was a continuation of Clinton. Bush, after all, didn't reverse much of what Clinton had put in. Bush didn't reverse NAFTA, didn't reverse CAFTA. In fact, he tried to make these trade policies even more grotesque to the disadvantage of American small business manufacturers. Look, it's a long story, and there's too much to say in too short a period of time. I'm only one man doing as much as I possibly can, and even beyond what I can. I feel like sometimes Hercules himself couldn't do what I do on a daily basis, and I'm not boasting. I'm just complaining in my own way. 1-800-449-8255. Visit me online at michaelsavage.com where you can see Mr. Behenna's story, Lieutenant Behenna's story. Write him a letter, send him a note, whatever you have to do. We have so much to do tomorrow on the Savage Nation that I think what I'm going to do now is this. We have told you yesterday, I spent a lot of time talking about the Marxist, the Leninists inside the White House. We have audio from a while ago, from 10-16-09, of White House Communications Czar Anita Dunn praising Mao Tse-Tung in a speech to high school students. If the guys could dig that up. Now, she was fired after this. We then have audio of Ron Blum, who is still a czar. He's in charge of all manufacturing, and he says he agrees with Mao, and he thinks that political power comes largely from the barrel of a gun. He is now in the White House. We have audio from another czar, who clearly shows his Marxist Leninist roots. Guys, you have any of it?
If Mao Tse-Tung said, you know, you fight your war and I'll fight mine.
If the civil rights leaders had jumped out and said, okay, now we want reparations for slavery, we want redistribution of all wealth, they'd have been laughed at. Instead, they came out with a very minimum program.
Okay, this man's now in the White House, Marxist through and through. So when I say we're in trouble, it's not red meat for the right wing. It's red meat for the American.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Big story today really is the fireball in Austin. The man who targeted an IRS building with his airplane. Of course, he's a white male. Of course, immediately we thought of Timothy McVeigh. Immediately I said this is red meat for the left wing, or shall I say the white wing or the white ring? The right ring? The white ring? The white wing? The right wing? Right way, the saying is the right-wing extremists are attacking the government. The left-wing in America now has their red meat for their propaganda machine, because today in Austin, Texas, Joseph Stack flew an airplane, his own airplane, into a government IRS building. And leaving behind him was a long suicide note against the government. The left-wing conspiracy now has their own Reichstag fire, which they can use to make whatever assertions about all conservatives that they want. It's the same thing that happened when Timothy McVeigh was used to distract America from the Clinton scandals in the mid-90s. And I find it interesting that this event occurred just days after Bill Clinton said he was going to start intensive opposition research into the Tea Party movement. And then, as if on cue, there's another attack. Coincidence? Well, I'll let the Savage Nation decide. Whether this was somehow triggered by forces deep within the government in a conspiracy, or whether it will simply be used by the government media complex is almost besides the point. You know why? It will be used by the left-wing conspiracy for their own purposes. The left-wing conspiracy and the government media complex will claim, as they have claimed before, that it is the right, not the left, that poses a danger to this nation. Already, the talking heads are demanding to know why he's not being called a terrorist. They're reading the manifesto and his suicide note on the air and practically gloating over the fact that he was a white anti-government conservative. A Hollywood director couldn't have imagined a better storyline for them, and we expect a full movie immediately. In the days that come, no doubt MSNBC and the rest of the left-wing conspiracy will revel in doling out the details of his life. No doubt he will seem to be a militia member, an anti-abortion activist, opposed to illegal immigration. No doubt a leader of a local Tea Party movement, or at least he may have drunk tea. You know, he could have like Lipton. What if they find Lipton tea in his house? I mean, there it is right there. And no doubt he listened to Rush Limbaugh. They will do everything in their power to make it seem as though this real terrorist threat came from this man in his airplane, when in reality the threat comes not from Texas, but Tehran. If you read the crazy man's manifesto, it's 7 pages long. I'm not going to read it. But some of it is worth noting. He says, why is it that a handful of thugs and plunderers can commit unthinkable atrocities? And in the case of the GM executives for scores of years, and when it's time for their gravy train to crash under the weight of their gluttony and overwhelming stupidity, the force of the full federal government has no difficulty coming to their aid within days, if not hours. Yet at the same time, the nut writes, the joke we call the American medical system, including the drug and insurance companies, are murdering tens of thousands of people a year and stealing from the corpses and victims they cripple. And this country's leaders don't see that this as important as bailing out a few of their vile rich cronies. It's interesting to me that he's attacking really everybody here. First he attacks Obama for bailing out GM, then he attacks the Republicans, Beowulf, for not passing a medical reform bill, yeah, so that he could get, you know, more care.
Apparently consistency is not his forte.
Well, no, he was angry at everybody. I mean, that's the interesting part.
Yeah, it's true.
And then he goes on about the IRS and the IRS code, and I can't, you know, go through all of this. It's, you know, a month struggling. What does he want to do? What was he trying to do? Get money back? So it's all about the IRS not listening to him. And he lost money, and he lost this, and he lost stock market crash. I don't know how he gets to the FAA. But he ends by saying, I know I'm hardly the first one to decide. I have had all I can stand. And he goes on to, it has always been a myth that people have stopped dying for their freedom in this country. and it isn't limited to the blacks and poor immigrants. I know there have been countless before me, and there should have been as many after. So he's a martyr in his own mind. But he says, but I also know that by not adding my body to the count, I ensure nothing will change. I choose to not keep looking over my shoulder at Big Brother while he strips my carcass. I choose not to ignore what is going on all around me. I choose not to pretend that business as usual won't continue. I've had just enough. And he says he hopes American zombies wake up and revolt. I saw written once that the definition of insanity is repeating the same process over and over and expecting the outcome to suddenly be different. I am finally ready to stop this insanity. Well, Mr. Big Brother IRS man, let's try something different. Take my pound of flesh and sleep well. I'm reading now from the manifesto of the nut who crashed this plane into an IRS building. He concludes as follows. The communist creed, from each according to his ability to each according to his need. The capitalist creed, from each according to his gullibility to each according to his greed. Joe Stack, 1956, 2010. Well, I don't know, Beowulf. What do you make of this? Some of it's quite literate. I got to be honest with you. This is not bad writing.
Well, you know, Ted Kaczynski was a nut, but, you know, he had a manifesto also. So so there you go. It's interesting to compare the coverage of the lady who was an Obama extremist in Alabama who actually killed three people, and this guy. The media seems to be covering it very differently.
Oh, my God, right. The teacher.
Yeah.
The one who was obsessed with Obama, who opened up at a Tenure hearing and actually shot five people, killing three. That got no coverage, scant coverage.
That's right.
That's right. And this guy didn't kill anybody, and yet he's a public enemy, terrorist number one.
Exactly. They're delving into
his
background.
Oh, my God, because she was white, she was a woman, she was a leftist, she was an Obama fanatic. You're right, Beowulf.
There you go.
Apparently, he was living on peanut butter and bread or Ritz crackers when he could afford to splurge for months at a time. You know, I would like to know what drugs he was on. I'd like to know if he was on Prozac, because something's wrong with this picture. Was he an ex-military?
Don't see that in his background yet.
Oh, thank God. I'm sure they'll invent it.
Apparently, the guy who dragged his wife and child out of the house that he set on fire before he went to this airplane was in the military, though, and he's a real hero.
Oh, well, that'll be buried.
Yeah, no doubt.
He attacks the Catholic Church in there, too. By the way.
Yeah, he was attacking just about everybody in there.
Well, here's another story that we didn't talk about yet. Influenza vaccine has no effect, according to a study out of Sweden.
Mm. What do you know about that?
There is no evidence to support the contention that the influenza vaccine administered to the over 65s is of any more use than opening the windows and washing hands. A new study from the Cochrane Collaboration claims, according to a report in a newspaper in Sweden. How do you like that one, huh? I didn't take my flu shot. Maybe the nut did.
I guess Big Sis won't be talking about that at the next press conference she holds.
The Marxist flu shot. Well, those are some of the stories. I mean, I got only a minute here left to tell it because we're running out of time. But if you go to michaelsavage.com, there's even more entertainment on the site, which is the Duke LaCrosse accuser. You know her. The one who made up that the white boys raped her.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she was charged with attempted murder and assault today. She attempted to stab her boyfriend. Can you imagine this?
Oh, the Durham dirtbag? She would sink so low, who knew?
Gee, I thought she was an innocent victim, didn't you? Here's another one everyone has to see. Obama, like Stalin, is considering seizing thousands of square miles of federal lands containing mines, timber, and coal, just like Joseph Stalin.
What's next?
Top UN climate official quits. How's that one? Well, michaelsavage.com has a conclusion on the bottom that I really have to point this out. Boxer has a will to win and to worship. It's not Barbara Boxer. At first, I did think it was because it was in the LA Times. It's a Jewish fighter named Yuri Foreman, who is both a phenomenal fighter and also a guy who fled Russia and is now a contender for one of the top, you know, championships. He's also studying to be a rabbi. Would you believe this?
Oh, it's amazing stuff. He's a really nice guy. Looks like we're going to be able to get him on the show.
Well, that's the roundup for the Savage Nation.
Savage.
You know, recently, Big Sis, Department of Homeland and Security, Janet Napolitano, went to New York for an advisory council meeting on Homeland Security. But frankly, I don't think many of us feel much safer. Joining us now is New York Post columnist and author of Celebutards, Andrea Pizer, with her look at this. Andrea Pizer, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. How you doing?
Well, what do you think she's doing here?
Well, Janet Napolitano, it's very funny because I wonder what world she lives in. It's not the same world I live in. Recently, she was famous, she became famous for refusing to use the word terrorist or terrorism. Instead, she used a very nice euphemism. She called a terror attack, what you and I would call terror attacks, man-caused disasters.
No.
Like a car accident is a man-caused disaster, or falling off a cliff or something like that. But terror attacks? I mean, my God. Anyway, she came to New York with her committee of advisors. And, you know, the mayor of New York was the guest speaker. And, of course, he was very adamant. He wanted funding for anti-terrorism funding for New York. He said, if that doesn't happen, we are going to have a nuclear attack in New York. It was shocking to hear that said. But, you know, hey, after 9/11, I'll believe anything. And Napolitano, who just recently added the word terrorist to her vocabulary, she basically ignored him. She talked about, the threat from Mexico. She talked about committees of faith-based groups to look out for homegrown terrorists. And then she thanked Bloomberg for coming, and she tattled off to Washington. So it was pretty disheartening.
Do you think that Napolitano just isn't listening, or what?
I don't know if she's waiting to hear her marching orders from Washington. Every once in a while, you know, there's a reaction and Obama will say something that sounds like he's paying attention, and then he reverts back to sucking up to Europe and being an appeaser, I would say. But Napolitano is completely at sea. I mean, she does not have an original thought in her head. It's kind of frightening to watch it happening right in front of you when the mayor of a great city like New York is saying, we're going to have a nuclear attack here. And she's like, okay, thank you very much. And what's happening in Mexico? It was very disheartening.
Gary Hart was there?
Well, first of all, I was really surprised to see Gary Hart there. I haven't heard from him in, God, a good, 10 years or so or more. Apparently, one of Janet Napolitano's advisors on her advisory council. And I don't know where he's been, what cave he's lived in, what they're breathing in Colorado or whatever, but he was really not at the same event. I mean, we had an event in which people are talking about terrorist threats. Napolitano is talking about terrorist threats from Mexico. Okay, she's at least on the same, continent. But Gary Hart was talking about civil liberties, and which, I'm all for civil liberties, but I really don't think that was the point of this meeting. He was talking about watching the make sure that we don't abuse the terrorists and all this. And I was wondering where he was, what event he was attending. We're in a city that was attacked, and he's somewhere else.
What else is going on?
Well, we have Fashion Week here in New York, where we have really, it looks like undead models. they're so skinny now, walking the runway, and a lot of freaks and dandies on the sidelines in their fancy clothes. And also, I found out where all the reality TV stars go when their shows are on hiatus. It's New York. They go to the tents. The real stars don't come here anymore. It's really kind of absurd. I had a lot of fun. Had some free champagne, and that's really the whole point of Fashion Week.
Andrea, what are you writing about now?
I'm writing about the craziness to get kids into private schools. I have a kid in private school. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, one thing I noticed, we all honestly believed that in the economic downturn, that private schools would suffer. In New York, it's the opposite. And I have come to the conclusion that parents will eat cat food they will be homeless before they let their kids not go to a private school that might lead them to Harvard. And it's kind of insane that you will pay thousands of dollars to tutor a 2-year-old or a 4-year-old to get into preschool, but you'll go without yourself. And it's really crazy. I really would like to interview everyone and find out where they went to school, successful people, because I don't think it was private school, but that's the ethic going on in New York right now.
Andrea Pizer of the New York Post, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thanks for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
I went out on the boat. Can I tell you, I never go out during the week. I'm a weekend boater, but I haven't been on my boat once since I went away to Florida. The weather's been horrible. So there was a glimmer of sunshine where I live. The boat's down at the water a few miles away. I go down to the boat. It's absolutely London fog, pea soup. There wasn't 100 yards of visibility. It was so thick that I almost decided to can the trip, but there was too much already involved with this and that and starting her up. And I go out in the fog. It was almost, as I say, no visibility. I'm talking not even 100 yards. But we get out of the harbor, and I decide, okay, I'm not going to turn towards San Francisco. I'll go toward the North Bay where the fog had burned off. I go about a mile, and I got to tell you, you want to talk about the hand of God? When you see the fog lifting off San Francisco Bay, and you see the sun come out, and you see the hills open up, and you see, well, you see what I'm saying. That, to me, is that's how I get in touch with nature and God. You know, God is nature, is DNA. It's been said 100 different ways. I mean, how do you do it? How do you touch God? Some do it through a house of worship. God bless you. Some do it through nature. That includes all living things. And God bless you if you do it that way. The object in all religion, as far as I'm concerned, is to do unto others as you have them do unto you. It's a very simple rule, and yet it's very hard to follow. Or do not do unto others, you would not have them do unto you. I mean, whichever way you want to put it, negative, positive. All religions boil down to the same thing, except for one religion, which we won't name.
Savage.
Joining us now on the Savage Nation is David Kupelian, whose new book is entitled How Evil Works, and in it he reveals the hidden mechanisms which allow lies and deception to take root in America. David, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. It's an honor to be on your show.
Well, what was your premise or goal in writing this book?
Well, you know, I've been a newsman for the better part of 30 years, and most news, unfortunately, is bad. In fact, most news is evil. You know, I use the example that, a mom reads her kids a bedtime story and tucks them into bed, that's not news. But if she drowns her 5 kids in the bathtub like Andrea Yates did, that's a huge news story. So my interest as a journalist and I think as a person has always been kind of the why question. Journalists ask, who, what, when, where, why, how. I'm always interested in the why. I want to dig deeper. That's always been my natural inclination. Most of my articles on WorldNet Daily start why this happens or what's behind the epidemic of this. And so that's why I wrote the book. I wanted to, there's so much evil in the world, and we don't seem to know how to deal with it very well. I wanted to try my hand at sort of laying some of these things out on the table and come to find out they're very, very understandable, what we're dealing with.
Well, like what?
I would say that if there is a basic building block or a structural unit like a cell or a molecule of evil, it would be the lie. It would be deception. And that takes me right to Washington, D.C., because, we had, 69 million people voted for Barack Obama as president, but unfortunately, because he's a hard leftist and is trying to take America in a direction it doesn't want to go in, because America is a center-right country, he simply has to lie all the time. He is a very polished and charismatic, kind of sugar-coated type of person, and maybe a very nice person personally, but he is literally being deceptive, manipulative, I hate to say it, but lying all the time, because it's like he's wearing a mask. He can't really ever come out and say, what he wants to do and why he wants to do it, because Americans don't want it. They don't want to go there, and so he has to lie all the time. And there's tremendous evil and tremendous suffering that comes from all this, but it's all based on lies, one lie on top of another on top of another. So when we think of evil and we think of terrorism and wars and genocides, it really starts with that deception.
Well, what level of narcissism do you think we're talking about here?
Well, I'll tell you something. I haven't told anyone else this yet, but here goes. I spoke to a top forensic psychiatrist recently. I'm not going to give his name because he asked me not to, but he's well-known. A forensic psychiatrist, by the way, is someone who makes his living providing expert testimony as to the mental condition of other people, like in court cases. And he's served in that capacity in thousands of such cases. So I asked him, I said, do you believe that Barack Obama has narcissistic personality disorder? And let me just pause before I tell you his answer, because we're not talking about whether somebody is narcissistic, because probably like half the population is narcissistic. Narcissistic personality disorder is a serious mental illness or personality disorder with a large symptom picture. Anyway, he said yes. He thinks that's an accurate diagnosis. And we went through a lot of the major symptoms. For instance, I'll give you three, okay? Grandiose view of one's achievements. You know, with Obama, everything is historic. Everything is super important. He doesn't have any accomplishments, really. I mean, he was 3 years in the state Senate and then 3 years in the U.S. Senate, most of it running for president. Before that, he was a community organizer. But everything is historic and grandiose and huge. And another symptom of narcissistic personality disorder is the inability to take criticism. Hey, you know, everybody criticizing Obama or his policies is attacked as a radical or an extremist. I mean, you know, even Fox News was attacked. And the third one I'll mention is empathy, a severe lack of real empathy. And narcissists can have a kind of a fake empathy. You know, Clinton had it great, that makes you feel like, I feel your pain. Okay, but I think all you have to do is look at the speech that Obama gave right after the Fort Hood shooting. He was joking for a full 2 minutes, giving shout-outs and making small talk, while the entire nation was in shock. This was like the worst terror attack on our soil anyway since 9/11, and the president is completely out of touch. So I could go on, but I and other people have made this speculation of whether the president has narcissistic personality disorder, but I bothered to ask a top professional. He said, yes, that would be a fair diagnosis to make of the president.
You write in the book about our weak reaction to terrorism.
Well, Michael, I have a chapter in How Evil Works called How Terrorism Really Works, Chapter 3. And in it, I talk about the Stockholm Syndrome and how I apply that to explain how, you know, we're so pathetic and appeasing in our response to Islamic intimidation and terrorism. And just in brief, you know, I think everybody's heard of the Stockholm Syndrome that was named after the Swedish bank robbery where two criminals terrorized four hostages in a bank for 5 days, and the hostages, over the course of those 5 days, became more and more sympathetic toward their captors until they totally sided with them and against the police trying to rescue them. So I guess the underlying principle of the Stockholm Syndrome, you could say, is really simple. It's basically when we're seriously intimidated, I mean in a life-threatening way, some of us, not all of us, start to side with whoever is intimidating us. And the fact is radical Islam is extremely intimidating, and that's by design. In fact, I think you could say the more crazy it acts, the more powerful it becomes. I mean, look, you got the Danish Muhammad cartoons, remember those? Those resulted in over 50 deaths for cartoons. And then you had Newsweek reported, incorrectly, by the way, that someone at Gitmo had flushed a Quran down the toilet. That led to at least 15 deaths.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite one is there was a... the Miss World contest was about to begin in Nigeria back 6-7 years ago. And just as it was beginning, a newspaper columnist, a woman, wrote a single sentence about the beauty of the contestants. And it wasn't even particularly disrespectful. It just said they were so beautiful that Muhammad, if he were alive, probably would have chosen a wife from among them. As a result of that one statement, the Islamic world went insane. There was Muslim rioting everywhere. They killed over 200 people with machetes, beating them to death, burning them alive, over one sentence in a newspaper column. So, okay, so what's the result of all this? The result is that Burger King recalls its ice cream cones because someone thought that the ice cream swirl logo looked a little too much like the word Allah in Arabic. I can think of at least two instances in the United Kingdom where the three little pigs, yes, the classic children's story, was banned so as not to offend Muslims, because Muslims don't like pigs. And, you know, we can laugh at these things, but in the U.S., we have a middle school curriculum that requires our children to dress up in Islamic garb. We reported on this on WorldNet Daily in Northern California, but it's spread. It's other parts of the country. They have to dress up in Islamic garb. They take on a Muslim name. They memorize verses of the Quran, and they play so-called jihad games. I'm not making this up. And imagine if they tried to do this with the Christian religion. So, you know, these are things we like. We laugh and we say, how ridiculous. But the sad thing is that this kind of fear-based thinking, which we call political correctness, allowed the Fort Hood shooter to shoot 50 people and kill 13. Because, you know, neither before nor after the terror attack could anybody in official capacity bring themselves even to utter the word Muslim or Islam. The Pentagon's 86-page postmortem report doesn't mention the word Muslim or Islam.
Well, what do you want people to take away or learn from your book?
I really want people to wake up and realize the kind of the hidden side of seduction and intimidation that's really everywhere out there. And these, you know, Americans are decent, intelligent people. Although these things are not talked about, they are talked about in my book, How Evil Works. And I think I make it as I'm a pretty good storyteller. I'm a journalist, and so I'm not talking like a psychiatrist or an academic. I'm telling the great news stories of the day: school shooters and terrorists and people on, you know, antidepressant drugs, 20 to 30 million of them. And I'm explaining in kind of these mega stories, mega crimes, terrible things. I'm explaining the principles, and what I'm really hoping, Michael, is that that they can glean some insight from them, because the truth is the same principles of seduction and intimidation and deception that are working in these big stories, in these big cases of evil, the same things are working in our everyday lives, in our relationships, in the problems we have with each other and our marriage and so forth. And if we can spotlight it in an extreme example, okay, then once we get it, we'll be able to see it in the small, more subtle, hard-to-see examples in our own lives. But that's where it really matters the most, because that's where we can do something about it.
David Kupelian, thanks for being on The Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks for having me on. I really, really appreciate it.
I'll be right back. Savage. Big story today, of course, is the man who crashed his plane into an IRS building in Austin, Texas. Here were some of the first reactions of the midstream media.
Take a look at this. This just happened in Austin, Texas. That cloud of smoke, it is believed that a light plane, a single-engine plane, plowed into that building.
The collision shook the entire building, and the entire front of the structure is gone and on fire.
Whether this was simply an accident or something intentional, we do not know.
The IRS, the CIA, and FBI all have offices in that building.
There is nothing at this point to indicate that this is terrorism related.
Clearly, you've got to wonder whether there was some sort of criminal intent here.
According to the NTSB, this pilot set his own house on fire and then got in his plane and flew that plane into that office building.
What is his or her history? Do they have a criminal history? Do they have any ill intent of late? Do they have a beef with anybody in that building?
Pretty strange circumstances.
Now, there are many pieces of this puzzle that we're exploring right now.
And here's what they had to say once they found that he was a white male.
The pilot is identified as Joseph Stack. They say this whole incident began this morning with a domestic disturbance call to the police.
Look, this is pretty dramatic stuff. We want to stay on top of it as best we can for you right now.
What I have here is a six-page suicide note. It reads like a very
angry person. I don't know quite what, how quite to put it. I can tell you that Joseph Andrew Stack unequivocally had very serious problems with the IRS. Right. He said desperate times call for desperate measures. He says we are brainwashed to believe that there is freedom in this place. It's interesting to see what was in this guy's head. The joke we call the American medical system, talking about health insurance. So what are you hearing here?
Yeah, he's
anti-government,
about everything.
Anti-government, anti-government, anti-government. Yep. And finally, this is how he closes it. This is interesting. Yep. I saw it written once that the definition of insanity is repeating the same process over and over and expecting the outcome to suddenly be different. I am finally ready to stop this insanity. Well, Mr. Big Brother IRS man, let's try something different. Take my pound of flesh and sleep well.
And here's CNN's Ali Velshi demanding to know why they're not calling him a terrorist.
I've had a lot of people to say, why are you saying, or why are government officials saying, it's not terrorism? Is it just because it's not somebody from a different background who's got some letter that says he wants to destroy something? Is this terrorism when you fly a plane into a building that is occupied by people?
The semantics game is one that we could play until midnight tonight.
Right.
I think it's best not to play it when it involves one human being
right.
with one grudge directed at one particular group or one particular person. I think if we start stretching the definition of terrorism to involve something like a neighbor's grudge against his community or his neighborhood or
right.
his HO, you know, his homeowners association,
yep.
then it starts getting a little too thin and we start getting a little confused in the semantics. I believe it's correct to stay away from the use of the word terrorism in a case like this.
In other news, Obama is setting up a whitewash commission to deal with fiscal responsibility. That's like hiring Al Capone to talk about illegal gambling.
Alan Simpson and Erskine Bowles are taking on the impossible. They're going to try to restore reason to the fiscal debate and come up with answers as co-chairs of the new National Commission on Fiscal Responsibility and Reform. I'm asking them to produce clear recommendations on how to cover the costs of all federal programs by 2015.
Yep, this is supposed to take care of the problem.
When I walked into the door of the White House, our government was spending about 25% of GDP, but taking in only about 16% of GDP. Without action, the accumulated weight of that structural deficit, of ever-increasing debt, will hobble our economy, it will cloud our future, and it will saddle every child in America with an intolerable burden.
Mr. Obama, please listen. If you stop spending money like a drunken sailor, well, there aren't any drunken sailors anymore now that you think about it, then maybe we'll get out of debt. What is this? Glad to hear Savage ate what? Audrey in Santa Maria, what's this? You glad to hear that Savage ate what?
Chicken's feet. Do you remember some time ago you extolled the virtues of chicken feet?
Yes, but I can't find chicken feet. They're not available. You got to go to a Chinese butcher to find them.
Yeah, I know, but I was just thrilled to death to know that a guy of your stature would eat chicken feet.
Yeah, my stature when I was 5A, chicken feet, because my mother put them in the soup and I got them. Everyone else got the wing. I got the feet. I didn't eat the chicken feet because I liked them. I think they gave everyone else the good part. No, I used to ask for the chicken feet. I loved them. And as I found out years later, recently, because I had an eye thing this year, there is a chemical component found in large quantities in chicken feet that is beneficial for the vitreous humor of the eyes. But I can't get a good chicken foot. Where do you get chicken feet?
When I'm home in Jamaica, I get them. But
You see, ethnic people eat chicken feet. See, what happens is the higher up the scale of society you go, the worse the food is. You'll notice that the people eat less and less of the authentic parts of food. The higher up the food chain they are in society, the worse they eat. You know that?
True.
No, I don't mean that you have to be like starving and, you know, eating dirt. But poor people actually know what to eat. They eat the organs of the meat. And it goes back to the chicken feet. You mean Jamaicans do eat all of the all parts of the animal, right?
Yeah. We don't eat dogs, though. But we do eat all parts of the cow.
No, I know. Audrey, would you like a present from me?
Oh, my goodness. Would I be thrilled to death? I have to fight with my husband because he loves Rush Limbaugh. I love Dr. Savage.
Well, there's room for both of us. Audrey, stay on the line. I'm sending you a free copy of Banned in Britain. I sometimes like to watch movies about San Francisco that was set, you know, years ago. I like the Maltese Falcon, whatever movie was set here in the 50s, particularly the late 40s. But the Eastwood movie, and I love the Alcatraz pictures, you know, the foghorn and the city in the background. And I really got a kick out of going by it on my boat. I always do. I mean, I really love the city. And that's it. That's the whole story. It's got the greatest Italian food in America. I'm sure every one of you, you know, have your own favorite haunts. But I range between two, Aliotta's on the Wharf and North Beach Restaurant up on the in North Beach. And I got to tell you why I said that. I went in, it was raining. It was dead. Nobody is in town. Nobody. I've never seen anything like it. It's like a drought of customers in restaurants here. It's frightening. The restaurant was not busy, and it's normally packed. Of the 30 or so people who were there at that time, I don't know how many were there, 30. I can't know how many. I would say five tables on the way out came over, and they said hello to me, and they were from Maine. They were from New Mexico. They were from Fresno. They were from Washington State. I didn't get up and say, hi, I'm Michael Savage. Remember, I'm a radio guy. But they all knew me, and they all came over, and it was wonderful to see. And wait, one other little story. You're not going to believe this. The boat docks on the fuel dock at the Hyde Street Pier, nothing. A few people wandering by, two, four, maximum, at the end of a gas dock. Guy's there with his wife and kid. He comes over. He says, are you Michael Savage? I said, yes. How did you know? He said, I heard your voice. You got to understand something. I have a signature voice. Either they don't know what I look like because I'm in radio. Either they hear my voice and they know me wherever I am, or the dog. The minute I say, Teddy, Teddy? Are you Michael? Yeah. So the dog, you know, he's not here today, buddy. He's off. He wanted to get out of the rat race of a radio, so he went to Camp Irene for a grooming and a walk, and I got him a cute raincoat. You ever see cute dog raincoats today? Just a lot of fun.
Savage.